Part 3. All there is to what you call yourself is God being Himself, or cause being effect. This is the I that is God, being I am. Therefore, I cannot give my glory to another, because there is no another. The glory that is God as cause is the glory that is man as effect. Man is the effect of God's glory. So all there is to yourself is the glory of God. This glory cannot age, because this glory knows no time. This glory cannot fear, because this glory is love's substance. This glory cannot be born, because this glory is life's eternality. Glory cannot sin, because this glory is the immaculateness, the infallibility of principle. This glory cannot err, because it has the substance of truthfulness. The glory of God can only love and be loved, because love is all. Acknowledge this to be your one and only self, the glory of God. Live this glory of God. Radiate this glory of God, and this is to be the temple of the living God. Acknowledge yourself to be now, here, the glory of God, and nothing inglorious can touch it. Nothing, therefore, that can make a lie could attach itself to the glory of God. See man, divine idea, as the presence, the very functioning, the activity of the glory of God. Seeing thus is to have the experience of generic pre-existence, eternal nature. Dwelling in light, I can see only the brightness of my own glory. Acknowledge and live this glory, for it is conscious identity. Mrs. Eddy is quoted as having said, "There is one way through, and only one, and this is to become unselfed." It is interesting, too, that the very first sentence of our textbook in the chapter on prayer says this, "The prayer that reforms the sinner and heals the sick is an absolute faith that all things are possible to God, a spiritual understanding of Him, an unselfed love." An unselfed love starts out from the divine principle, love itself. It is impartial in its adaptations and bestowals. Therefore, unselfed love is the need of everyone. To be unselfed love, we must always start out from principle, love itself. See that effect, man cannot testify of himself. Effect is always testifying to God. Effect, reflection, is not loving. Effect is simply testifying to the great spiritual fact that God is love and therefore principle. To be truly unselfed is never to be the patient, but to be always the Christ consciousness or practitioner. Frequently, we become the malpractitioner to ourselves by accepting the satanic suggestion that it is our own condition. Then we treat it as if it were part of us, or on us, or in us, or in some way connected to us. That is, that we are involved with it. But be the practitioner, the Christ consciousness, the Holy Ghost, and every effect will immediately declare, "I am that I am." This is the one way of being unselfed. To unself oneself is the whole purpose of Christian Science. Every idea that appears in the line of creation is unselfed love. The Bible says, "In the beginning." Every thought begins with God, the all in all. It emanates from Him as His glory, His perfection, His freedom. All is God being, because effect, to be oneself, must have nothing of itself, but must be the self that is God being itself. This is to be unselfed. The drop of water becomes one with the ocean the moment it touches the ocean. It ceases to be the drop and becomes the surge and the power of the ocean. So when we drop the personal sense of ego into the infinite ocean of love, all the characteristics, the qualities, the attributes that constitute deity constitute man. This is to unself self. In our textbook we read, the starting point of divine science is that God, Spirit, is all in all, and that there is no other might nor mind, that God is love, and therefore he is divine principle. Admitting that God, principle, is alone present and operating permits one to solve what appears to be the problem. Let us never personalize evil. To personalize it is to make it difficult to handle. Watch unceasingly on this point. Satanic suggestion tries to get us to give it a name, to make it a place, or even a thing, or to say it is a person. It calls itself sickness, or accident, or a hurricane, whereas it is nothing but the claim of malicious animal magnetism, hypnotism, or mesmerism. Evil is always saying, "Give me a man." It has no man, because all man is divine. All man is eternal, incorporeal, universal. Man is as impersonal as God, principle itself, because man is the activity of the principle that is love. Watch carefully to see that evil is not person. It is not over there, not a group of people over there. It is not an organization over there, or a government over there. It is always right here, claiming to operate as our current mind. Suggestion claims to operate as our own consciousness, and have us see it as person, place, or thing. It even claims to be multiplied. But we must refuse to have many, many patients, many problems, many races. It is always the one evil suggestion itself. That is where alertness to duty comes in. We must not be made to forget nor to neglect our duty to God, to our leader, and to mankind. But no, there are not many patients waiting to be healed. There is but one patient, and that is the one evil, hypnotic suggestion, appearing in many guises, many races, many forms or bodies, and so on. In order to heal with the Christ power, we must see evil for what it is not, no thing, no body, because of the indivisibility and the allness and the oneness of God. Our duty to our leader is to see the revelation in its absolute clarity, Mrs. Eddy writes in Retrospection and Introspection. Whatever divides being into beings is a misstatement of the unerring divine principle of science, which interrupts the meaning of the omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence of spirit, and is of human instead of divine origin. So it is not scientific to divide what is called evil, mortal mind, into many. If we accept the concept of many, multitudes, and try then to heal them, we momentarily will have left our science of being for shadow chasing. Mrs. Eddy tells us in Miscellaneous Writings, "The noblest work of God is man in the image of his Maker. The last infirmity of evil is so-called man swayed by the maelstrom of human passions, elbowing the concepts of his own creating." Here our leader says that we elbow our own concepts. But never be made to forget that the oneness and allness of the Christ is the healer to the satanic suggestion of many. There are not many, even as there is but one God, one man. So there is but one claim of evil, and its claim of a mortal man. We know well, by the bylaw in the Mother Church Manual, Article 8, Section 6, Alertness to Duty. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to defend himself daily against aggressive mental suggestion, and not be made to forget nor to neglect his duty to God, to his leader, and to mankind. By his works shall he be judged, and justified or condemned. Every student must be obedient to this bylaw. It takes unselfed love to be alert to handle apparent evil in the guise of laziness, fear, superstition, apathy, inanity. As long as we can be made to believe that evil is person, place, or thing, we are not able to help, to heal, or to be healed. The moment we see that tuberculosis is not disease, see that cancer is not rebellious cells, that diabetes is not organic, that heart trouble is not muscles, that the drunkard is not personality, that the hurricane is not wind and rain, that the earthquake is not a troubled earth, the thief is not a person. Then we can heal instantly, because we have impersonalized suggestion and have seen that it is nothing more than the so-called activity of mortal mind, hypnotism or mesmerism. As Mrs. Eddy has stated, animal magnetism has been unmasked. Some students use the term mortal mind as if it were a mind apart from God. But our leader says, mortal mind, hypnotism, or mesmerism. Then mesmerism is not mind. Mesmerism is the absence of mind. Let us therefore see that there is no mind to hypnotize, to mesmerize, or to be mesmerized. We must know there is only one mind, God. The practitioner loses his ability to heal or to help when he or she personalizes the suggestion, wonders what it is, what its name is, or what a doctor would say about it. This is all there is to the so-called activity of malicious animal magnetism. It is Jesuit deviltry, claiming to operate through manipulation, brainwashing, and the like. The alert student cannot be made to forget that the only mind present to operate is divine, and this divine mind is the present mind of man. Love is the way. The greatest love is to see the impersonality of the claim, and the impossibility of it from the standpoint of revelation. Many students, if not alert, are made apathetic. They say the lesson sermon is dull. They seem to get nothing from it. But do they see that animal magnetism is trying to preserve itself, trying to maintain itself by such arguments? Do they really see that at this point they are being made to forget? The Bible lessons of the Christian Science Quarterly are especially significant on the subjects of ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism and hypnotism denounced, everlasting punishment, probation after death, and others. These lessons must be carefully studied because they are exposing Romanism, communism, and the general belief that claims to act as mentality. When you find yourself apathetic or dull, declare instantly, you animal magnetism in the guise of thought cannot dull the apprehension of Christliness. You cannot dull the brilliance of what I am. You cannot interfere with the clarity of the Christ power that I am. Handle this apathy. As our leader says, if necessary, insist vehemently upon the great fact. Science and Health. When students permit this dullness, this apathy, to come in, it seems to be the first step towards separating us or bringing apostasy. Watch this carefully. See that mind is unerringly present to express its own directness, controlling all, seeing all. We see clearly the impossibility of matter from the standpoint of the first sentence of the scientific statement of being. This leaves only the divine mind in its unerring direction to be the experience, to be the life, the intelligence, the substance, the truth of all. It leaves only God present, love in all its power, glory, freedom, and being. Let us acknowledge and see our one and only identification from this standpoint of love itself. Love, that is principle, does not permit us to have another. There is no another anywhere. It is all God experiencing what God is. Unselfed love does not have another. Unselfish love does seem to have another, with which it is unselfish. Unselfed love permits nothing but love, principle, life, soul to say, I am that I am. As Paul once said, by thy grace I am what I am. True love of the cause of Christian Science will not permit us to be made to forget nor to neglect our duty. We cannot be made to commit an act foreign to the natural inclinations. The Christ is the remedy here, and let us, with this great love that is principle, include all mankind. Then there is no malicious mind to operate as malpractice. Love for what Christian Science is doing and has done for all will make students ever more alert. Our daily defense is our alertness to see that there is no private mind to manipulate or to be manipulated, to mesmerize or to be mesmerized, no private mind to be made to forget. Your work will show forth your alertness. Love is the way, and love is the liberator. Love gives us this daily defense. We must make the most of it by being alert. Never be fooled into handling effect in your daily work and practice. But always see that there is but one mind, even God, present to manifest itself lovingly. We are not dealing with a patient. We are dealing with the hypnotic suggestion that mind is not all, and that there is something besides the goodness and love of mind to be experienced as identity. This is a lie, a fraud. There is nothing present but God, good, the all-power and the all-presence. All there is to be experienced is this God-likeness. Then let us leave the basis of belief of a practitioner here, a patient there, and let us unite with the one mind and bring out God's unerring direction. This is to have unselfed love, which is true prayer. The false sense of the human seems to have us try to become the sons of God rather than to simply live in the revelation that man is the son of God. Don't try to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That is, don't try to make yourself loving, to try to make yourself kind. It is impossible, for man is love in being. Man doesn't need to be made loving. Man is loving. As long as we seem to accept the suggestion that we are mortals, we seem to grapple with spiritual facts. Let us not grapple anymore. Let us not fight. But let us relax into what man divinely is. Drop the tenseness of trying for the relaxation of acknowledgement. Your environment is the infinite God consciousness, and this is present to your sight and sense, here and now. All there is to what I call myself is God being Himself, and He is all right, therefore I am all right. There is no doubt concerning it, because man is Divine Mind's identification. Let us look now for a moment at this statement from Science and Health. It says, Jesus aided in reconciling man to God by giving man a truer sense of love, the divine principle of Jesus' teachings. And this truer sense of love redeems man from the law of matter, sin, and death by the law of spirit, the law of divine love. The true sense of love, that is, this unselfed love, redeems man from the suggestion of being person or personal, and permits man to function as divine idea, the direct functioning presence of love, principle itself. This truer sense of love, the divine principle of Jesus' teaching, is the law of spirit, the law of divine love. When something is in the pawn shop, we pay the necessary amount to get the article out. This is called redeeming, that is, the article is freed. The Christ redeems us from the personal sense of self. We have paid the price for this redemption by giving up the personal sense, that is, the sense of a personal self with its restrictions and limitations. This redemption, through divine love, frees every action, movement, function, and faculty from the satanic suggestion of material organs. When we believe that organs have anything to do with life, we have put ourselves in the pawn shop, and the Judaic concept of an eye for an eye will demand the utmost farthing. But let us keep our concept of self out of the pawn shop of personal sense, so that we do not have to keep going back to redeem it day after day. Let us redeem it once and for all by seeing that it is nothing but satanic suggestion that says we are material persons, that we did or we didn't do, that we said or we didn't say, or that we loved or we didn't love. Let us redeem ourselves here and now and forever by acknowledging that the Christ is the identity of all. Then when the prince of this world comes and says I, we immediately see that we have been redeemed by the Christ. Therefore, we do not act or react to the so-called prince of this world, and it finds nothing in us, because we are not in the pawn shop any longer. So we do not have to pay the price. For the true sense of love, the true sense of I am, has redeemed us from the personal sense of I. This redemption as love never loses sight of loveliness. Hence it sees nothing to redeem or to be redeemed. When the full redemption has taken place, only love is present, reflecting love. This is to have that unselfed love that heals instantly. Human morality, human will, human so-called right thinking cannot act to help in this law of redemption. Jesus gave us the true sense of love, and it is this true sense of love from Jesus' teachings and Mary Baker Eddy's revelation that redeems us. This marvelous redemption redeems all. This is scientific redemption. We must be careful not to use Christian science to change darkness into light, or to change what is called a bad physical condition into a good one. We must see that Christian science is the revelation of that which is true now. Christian science must be lived. It must be loved. Christian science is not a poultice to be applied. Christian science is to be practiced and lived. This living, this practice, this loving, is the Christ activity. We must be sure that we are not in the realm of physical healing. To accept the suggestion that we are not in the realm of physical healing is to have the inept incurability of medical mesmerism come upon us. Christian Science heals metaphysically. It shows that there is no mind but God. Man's being is, was, and ever will be in this mind. There is no mortal mind to have a mortal body. Christian Science is the most glorious thing that ever happened to what is called a human being. It shows us what God is and what man is. It is heaven here and now. Man is simply the term for all that God is being, the expression of God's being, the reflection of God. The reflection gives back everything that the original has, is, or can be. Nothing is withheld. There is no personal man. Man is generic. Get used to being generic man. Whenever something knowable, something grand, something glorious is being done, or said, or heard, or seen, it is always the one I. It is the one I, God, being what I am, doing it all. Generic man does not permit identity to be here and not there. Man is the infinite expression of infinite mind. Acknowledging and living generic man permits one to live unlocalized. It permits one to experience infinity without going or coming. This is to experience the universe of love. See that man has never been present as personality. When alleged crimes seem to happen, always think, not guilty. For man is never guilty. For man is God's expression of his own purity, his own innocence. Always maintain your innocence to be generic, universal, everywhere present. This is to be the Father's full reflection. Acknowledge your generic nature. This brings with it such a sense of love, universal love, that we need not stand in awe of it, because identity is the loving of the love that is God. We should look deep into realism, and see even deeper into the scientific statement of being. If we accept the first sentence of this statement of being as the revelation of truth here and now, there is no personal sense to contend with. There is no myth mind to have a myth body, because right where the human concept seems to be, the life that is divine, the intelligent, the primal quality of mind, the substance, the very being of God is present, and this feeling, this knowing, this being is identification. Now, can we not see why Jesus could say, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father"? It is always I seeing what I am, being what I am, knowing what I am. Then everything concerning this myth mind must be mythological, deceptive. There is no such mind. There is no such body. The revelation of the scientific statement of being is that there is no objectified identity, no objectified man. All is subjective being. This simply means that all exists in and of mind itself. There is nothing outside of mind that mind can take cognizance of. Mind knows all, and this knowing reflected is man. Why does it seem so difficult to let go the personal sense of self? Is it not because we have become accustomed to thinking of it as identity? Yes, this is the reason. It is only as we have the unselfed love that is God that we wipe out the selfishness that wants to pray all the time for itself, afraid that it might die, afraid that it is alone. To have the unselfed love that is God, divine principle, is to have no self, no sense of self apart from God. It is where the drop of water ceases to be the drop and becomes the power and the glory of love itself. It is where the pane of glass is dissolved and no medium, no avenue, no channel is permitted. It is love directly expressing and experiencing itself. Man has never been separated from God. If someone believes himself to be a sinner, show him the immaculateness of his true being. If someone believes himself to be old and unwanted, show him that he has never left heaven for a mess of pottage. We can rejoice because of this message of Christian Science. It is radiant with light. It is so tender and so gentle, it excludes nothing. It takes all in, from the blade of grass to a star. Never be self-centered. Never permit your love not to see the seeming anguish of another and supply the need by knowing that right where it stands is holy ground. This is love. This is the love that Jesus knew so well, the love that is divine principle. This is the love that Mary Baker Eddy knew so well. It is the universal love. It is the love that is looking deep into reality, looking deeper into reality all the time. Think, Father, love, all, for nothing else is here but the love of God being felt. Love, life, truth are ever present to be experienced as identity. This love, this feeling, this love flowing from the throne of God leaves nothing unlovely. It goes to every part of the body, making it every whit whole, as body means universe, body means infinity, body means consciousness. In Miscellany, our leader has written, "The little that I have accomplished has all been done through love, self-forgetful, patient, unfaltering tenderness." All there is to what you call yourself is God being, God or cause being effect. This is why I can of mine own self do nothing, and this is why I cannot give my glory to another. The glory that is God is the glory that is man. Man is the effect of God's glory in being. Man is the effect of soul attributing. Man is the effect of life and its vitality. Man is the effect of God being God. Sometimes we are not clear on the words know and think. The dictionary says that know is in possession of information, to identify, to acquaint with, to be skilled in, to understand. Now, God is all-knowing. Therefore, man has no need to think. Reflection cannot think. Reflection is knowing. The word think is defined in the dictionary as to think about, to ponder over, to take into consideration, to recollect. Man cannot think with the mind of God. Man is the functioning of the mind that is God. As long as we think we are persons, we must think, because it is natural to that state of thought. Once one finds oneself to be divine idea, at that point one stops thinking. One is no longer required to think. One is no longer permitted to think, because knowing is the natural state of man. Then let us leave the basis of belief that we are thinkers, and let us unite with the one mind, and let mind express itself, reveal itself. Ask yourself many times during the day, am I thinking? Or is mind expressing itself? If you find yourself thinking, correct it, and know that nothing sitting in a chair can think. Mind is present and expressing itself, and this might seem to appear as what the world calls thinking, but the alert student is never fooled. He knows it is not thinking. He knows mind is intelligently self-expressing, and this is knowing. In Christian Science, we are not followers to anyone. In Christian Science, we live the Christ. In Christian Science, we do not follow persons, because we are not persons to follow persons. When we speak of following our leader, Mary Baker Eddy, we do not mean we follow her person. we follow the Christ teaching that ye has so clearly given us. Mrs. Eddy says, the Christian Scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of things. Message of 1901. If someone sees us as a person, corporeal and finite, we are not responsible for what he or she sees, but we are responsible to see that we have never followed any person. This teaching cannot be compared. It is incomparable, because it is proceeding straight from divine principle, love. Paul said, Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? If we accept that there are different kinds of teaching in Christian Science with which we agree or disagree, we sap the movement of its vitality. Let us never do this ignorantly or maliciously. We should embrace the Christian Science movement in the only one true teaching, the one teacher, and feel so keenly that this teaching embraces all, that the movement is this teaching made manifest. This love of the teaching will dissolve any misinterpretation or misconception. We must be certain that we never add fuel to the argument that there are different kinds of teaching. Christian Science is absolute. It is final. It cannot be diluted by whatever false theology would say. Christian Science must be practiced from the standpoint of its absoluteness. Never forget that Christian Science is the science of love, and this love must be felt as conscious identity. The love that is principle is never cold or harsh. This love is exact. Love is final. Love is orderly, always sparkling, shining, scintillating, kind, and gentle. Thus, we must drench everything that appears as consciousness with this love. And remember that there is nothing objectified here in our universe. All is subjectivity. It is love that is principle saying, I am, and being this generic love is all that constitutes church, family, neighbor, friend, and so on. Sometimes it seems too difficult for some students to see that what appears as home, friend, church, work, is one's own conscious identity. It is not outside. If it is seen that the tree, the flower, the bird, the earth, the church, the universe, the friend, the teacher, are all subjective, then we are experiencing our generic nature. Then we love spontaneously everything that appears. Mrs. Eddy has given the world a great example of how to lay aside the human sense of self. She has said of Jesus, To carry out his holy purpose, he must be oblivious of human self. Miscellaneous Writings. Throughout all her writings, she shows us how to get the human self out of the way in order that the divine reality might express itself effortlessly and without any mediumship. It was our leader's great ability to get personal sense out of the way that made her the great discoverer to the world. This was her gift to humanity. In the first series of We Knew Mary Baker Eddy, we read the verse on page 39 of this poem, Christ and Christmas, shows our leader's utter realization that the human self was not a factor in her writing, but rather that it was set aside, that the revealed science of Christianity might freely flow. This stanza reads as follows. As in blessed Palestina's hour, so in our age, 'tis the same hand unfolds his power and writes this page. Again, in the same first series, we find a student asking Mrs. Eddy about a metaphysical statement that had been made by a Christian Science worker of some prominence at the time. The student told Mrs. Eddy, I could not reconcile the thought to my own understanding of metaphysics. Was I right in refusing to accept it? Mrs. Eddy replied, Your own interpretation is entirely correct, and in this connection I want to impress upon you one fact. No matter how exalted a position a Christian Scientist may occupy in the movement, never accept what he may say as valid unless you can verify the statement in our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Of course, this is true. The textbook is our authority for teaching. The textbook says that the woman in the apocalypse symbolizes generic man. Now, generic man means the universality of man, the infinity of man, the indivisibility of man. Man, the full, infinite manifestation of infinite mind. Therefore, all is generic man. This, then, would symbolize the woman in the apocalypse. When the Bible speaks of the woman, does it not mean that the motherhood of God had to be revealed at some time? Jesus revealed the fatherhood of God. Because of this, the Christian world has ever been grateful to be able to say, Our Father which art in heaven. Jesus knew that the world, there was no Christian world at that time, it was mostly Judaic, Roman, etc., was not willing to accept a feminine sense of God. So he predicted that at some future time, the Comforter would come and bring us the motherhood of God. The Bible records it as the woman appearing. Thus it is that Mrs. Eddy revealed the womanhood, the motherhood of God, that is, the feminine aspect or qualities of God, thereby completing the revelation of our Father, Mother, God. In one of the earlier editions of Science and Health, author Mary Baker Eddy used the terms mother, she, and her when referring to God. However, she changed this in the very next edition because she realized the Christian world, including the students of Christian Science, would not accept this sense of a feminine God. Nevertheless, Mrs. Eddy has revealed to the world the motherhood, the tenderness, the gentleness, the forever protective nature of our Mother God, who is love. The revelation was completed with this truth, our Father, Mother, God. There should be no confusion on this point. Mrs. Eddy was and is the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science. We are not chosen children of God. God does not choose. God is divine principle, and everything in the universe is God saying, I am that I am. It is soul identifying itself. It is love, gently caring for its own self-expression. Let us be clear on this point, for then we see the completeness of the divine revelation known to the world as Christian Science. In the first series of We Knew Mary Baker Eddy, one of Mrs. Eddy's students made the statement that she felt that the secret of Mrs. Eddy's great achievements could be explained on no other basis than her at-one-ment with God and her boundless spirit of universal love for all mankind, she writes. Prior to my taking class instruction with Mrs. Eddy, this was beautifully expressed to me once by our leader in conversation, in the words she used to describe her healing work, which, as nearly as I can recall, were as follows. I saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space, and that divine love so permeated my consciousness that I loved with Christ-like compassion everything I saw. This realization of divine love called into expression the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, Science and Health, which healed and regenerated and saved all who turned to me for help. The way Mrs. Eddy said the word love made me feel that she must have loved even a blade of grass under her feet. Love is instilling all. Love is penetrating all. But the moment we permit love to have a personal sense, we cease to have the love that is God, the love that fills all space, the love that encircles the universe, the love that is manifest. The moment we have a personal sense of love, all we have is what is called human love, and that has no tint of reality. Mrs. Eddy saw unselfed love. The Eddy concept had been laid on the altar of divine science. She says she saw that the human had none of the divine hues. She knew that the human had neither present nor existence, because there is no human mind to have a human body to torment, to kill, or to murder. Mrs. Eddy saw the love that is God, the love that is principle, the love that knows nothing unlike its own love, that sees nothing but its own love, the love that knows nothing to punish, knows nothing to have a hell for. The love that is principle operates as conscious identity or man. This is the love that is the Christ-like compassion. It is the love that Jesus felt when he was confronted by the strange woman, as is recorded in the beginning of the chapter on Christian Science Practice in our textbook. If the scientist reaches his patient through divine love, the healing work will be accomplished at one visit, and the disease will vanish into its native nothingness, like dew before the morning sunshine. Science and Health. Pray for this love. This love can come only as we get rid of personal sense. The suggestion that we have a personal sense of self that acts and reacts, that likes and dislikes, that loves and hates, that has courage or can be afraid. Oh, understand, there is no personal concept of man. All man is divine. All man is infinite. All man is eternal. See the love that is God penetrating all, instilling all, healing all. Then we will be seen only as incorporeal love itself. In miscellaneous writings we read, the final immersion of human consciousness in the infinite ocean of love is the last seen in corporeal sense. This omnipotent act drops the curtain on material man and mortality. In our textbook we read, divine science lifts the curtain on man as never born and as never dying, but as coexistent with his Creator. This omnipotent act of acknowledging the infinite ocean of love, including man, man that is the power of this love in being, man that is the surge of this infinite ocean of love, man that is the light of this divine love, this potent act drops the curtain on material personal sense. Christian Science lifts the curtain on man and drops the curtain on personal sense. Now, when we are at the theater and the final curtain drops, we know the show is over, so we leave. Thus it is in Christian Science. The show is over. The show of personal sense is over. The curtain has dropped, and let us refrain from going back to see what is going on. The play is finished. The characters were only dreams, pure fiction. There is no substance, no identity in the show. We have dropped the curtain, and then man's identity or consciousness reflects only the light of ever-present love. This is the spirit, the substance, the consciousness, termed in Christian metaphysics the ideal man, permeated with eternal life, holiness, and heaven. We do not have to go any place to go home after the show is over. Man is home. Man is heaven. We read in miscellaneous writings, the encumbering mortal molecules called man vanish as a dream. If it is a dream, then tell it as a dream. Man is never healed in Christian Science. Man has been revealed as being perfect, even as God is perfect. Christian Science is not on the level of healing. We leave that basis of belief, unite with the one mind, and bring out God's unerring direction. This lifts the curtain on man and drops the curtain on personal sense, and then man, born of the great forever, lives on, God crowned and blessed. Now let us keep the curtain down on the dream. Never go into it. See it as a play, a farce. See it for what it is. The masquerade is over. Keep the curtain up on man, the glory of our Father Mother God. We must acknowledge the coincidence of principle and idea, father and son. When the human and divine coincidence is clearly seen, then nothing is present humanly, everything is present divinely. Divine action, divine circulation, divine rhythm, called heart action, divine breathing, the deep drawn breath, fresh from God, divine sustaining infinite. Circulation, pressure, temperature, all are present in and as mind. In this coincidence, then, we see there is no human, restricted sense of man, or returning to. Christian Science not only lifts the curtain on man, that is, the coincidence of principle and idea, but Christian Science also drops the curtain on the personal sense of self in this true realization of coincidence. Love demands of us that we see the coincidence of principle and its idea. In this true coincidence, the idea is seen to be the functioning presence of principle itself, cause being effect, God being his own manifestation. The scientific statement of being gives us the true sense of coincidence, and it is necessary to see that this true sense leaves no humanity. It leaves only divinity. Mrs. Eddy stated that to carry out this holy purpose, Jesus had to be oblivious of the human self. We too must be oblivious of the human self, whether it is called oneself or another. The human self is so impertinent, it is saying, I am, I want, I did. Yet, all the time, there is only the I that is God, the I am that I am. So let us see that in this coincidence, only the ego that is God is left to say, I am, and nothing else has presence to say, I am. Cause and effect are one being, principle and idea one, coincidental. The understanding that love is present as principle, and that man is love's own self-expression, this understanding brings with it the coincidence of Father and Son. For we have seen once and for all that all is infinite mind, infinitely manifesting itself as all. End Part 3. Part 4. In the Bible we read, The Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Love never loses sight of loveliness, science and health. From the standpoint of the world, physique may be beautiful, perfectly formed and so forth, but it can be a picture of beautiful evil. As our leader says, sometimes beautiful, always erroneous. We read in the scriptures, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Mind is perfect principle. Therefore, its faultlessness is the faultlessness of its idea. We can never be fooled by the deception called personality, whether called oneself or another, because it has been proven to be pure deception. No God as faultless principle, forever conceiving faultless idea, idea constituted of the substance of love. As we see this, we will never see the distorted picture called personality, and thus criticize it, and come down to the level of the lie. Stay up on the wall of love, the love that is principle, and look deep into reality. Looking through the eyes of love, we can see only the loveliness of the brightness of our own being. Body is the harmonious functioning of love. Fear, hate, rebellion, dissatisfaction, resentment are not cause to cause corruption or interruption, or to interfere with the harmonious function of mind. This harmonious functioning is the law of God governing and controlling the functions of the body, wholly spiritual, matterless. Even what is called the human concept of body must conform to the perfect law of liberty. For all functioning, action, motion, is love. It is love that does the oiling, the lubricating, because body is frictionless. Love is the source of all movement, action, function, and this love is principle. When the slightest suggestion comes, no matter how insignificant, let us be alert and deny it admittance. The Bible says that he saw his brother's face as if it were the face of God, love. All right then, what about seeing our own face in the same way? Can we accept the suggestion that we are persons and yet see the true spiritual individuality for our brother? It is impossible. Love never loses sight of loveliness. Many times during the day, remind yourself that the principle that is love is the source of all being, and that it is present, expressing itself as the action, the knowing, the movement, the seeing of all. Love is not only the source of all, but it is the condition of all. It is even the temperature of the body. It is the circulation of the body. This leaves no little me to try to function. Love is the liberator from every kind of suggestion. Suggestion, no matter how aggressive, how malicious, how vicious, cannot sustain itself in the presence of love realized and felt as the identity of all. Love gives one the feeling of infinite satisfaction. Mind's infinite manifestation is infinite completeness, infinite wholeness, infinite well-being, infinite satisfaction, because deity is satisfied with his work. Why? Because it is the emanation of his own infinite self-containment, and self-containment is divine satisfaction or fulfillment. Man is the breath of the Almighty, the breath of the Holy Ghost. What is called matter can never condition man. Man is in good condition because man is God-conditioned, love-conditioned. Therefore, man is in lovely condition always. Matter is mortal mind, hypnotism, mesmerism. Mesmerism is not caused to have an effect. Therefore, it can make no conditions for man. Matter is a harmless illusion of material sense. Mind, divine love, cares for and tenderly nourishes its own idea, man, because man is love's self-completeness, love's unassailable nature. Man is the beloved of the Father, in whom the Father-Mother is well pleased. Therefore, when a suggestion of guilt comes, know your innocence. You are innocent of ever having been a person, doing or not doing. Remind yourself constantly that there is nothing personally present but just mind, intelligence, love, life, expressing itself in all its identity called home, friend, work, or church. The kingdom of love will never be found by looking for it. It will never be able to say, "Lo here," or "Lo there," is the kingdom. The kingdom of love is within. Whoever shall know himself shall find it. Strive to know yourself, and you shall be aware that you are the son or daughter of the Father-Mother. It is by love that men pass out of death into life. He who does not love has never been alive. David sang in Psalms, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." The understanding that the love that is God is present cannot be obscured, cannot be masked. This love is present and is felt as conscious identity. This love hath made us gentle. Love hath created man in flawless perfection and maintains man in unlabored self-perpetuation. How joyous, how relaxing it is, how liberating it is to know this fact and to accept it as our present experience. Love, ever expressing itself in flawless perfection for all. A friend wrote that in teaching a Sunday school class one day, she told the class the story of Noah's Ark. After explaining it, she asked the children how it was that Noah and all in the ark felt so safe during the long, long flood. No one answered. Then a very small 5-year-old child looked up and said, "Because they were all cozied up with love." Another time it was the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and many of the children were wide-eyed as they thought of Daniel's plight. But the smallest child was not in doubt about Daniel's welfare because she knew that he, too, was cozied in love. She knew the same about the 3 Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Sometime later, that little girl was in what seemed to be a very scary accident, where a part of a building gave way and fell on her. The men working to free her had feared she was mutilated, but she was all right. When her mother asked her later if she had been afraid while they worked to free her, the dear child said, "No, 'cause I was all cozied with love." Do we have such childlike trust? Are we cozied in love? Cozy. To this child meant comfortable, loved, secure, and she applied it here with the word love. Man cozied in love is warmed, protected, loved. Man is and always has been completely enfolded in God's love, inseparable, indivisible, eternal. Let us stop trying to bring this about. Let us relax and enjoy that man is cozied in the love of God, perpetual freedom. As the hymn says, "He holds us perfect in His love, and we His image bear." Many healings are brought about through the childlike acceptance that this fact is true. Let us be like the child and accept with joyous, relaxed freedom that it is already so, that love is present and being experienced as identity. It is said that Mary Baker Eddy once remarked, "Man walks the earth, enveloped in atmosphere of life, truth, and love, which holds him in spiritual gravitation. And the force of love which man reflects repels all the illusions of the carnal mind. Man is the son of God and knows his sonship." We need to see that even what is called infinitesimals all belong to the mind that is love. The carnal mind claims that infinitesimals are the agents for subversive activity. It asserts that a germ can destroy the health of man, that a clot of blood can rob him of his intelligence, that a touch of electricity can consume him, that a bullet can take his life, and so on. But Jesus once said, "The very hairs on the head are numbered, are cared for," and that the lilies of the field were and are clothed by divine love, and the least of all seeds, the mustard, could become a tree for birds to rest in. Does this not show that love takes care of the infinitesimals as well as the infinite? There is nothing too small or too great that God cannot care for. See that everything that concerns your identification, home, church, work, all is cared for by the love of the Father. Sometimes intellectuality fools us. Mrs. Eddy wrote, "'Tis the spirit that makes pure, that exalts thee and will cure. So it is the spirit of love, the spirit of truth, that relaxes and brings joyous, childlike acceptance. We can be obedient to what our leader says, willingness to become as a little child, and to leave the old for the new, renders thought receptive to the advanced idea, science and health. Man is forever in the love that is God. The very atmosphere is love. The presence is love. The substance is love. The life is love. Mind is love. Seeing is love. Feeling is love. Hearing is love. It all comes down to the one eternal fact that God is love and man is all that God is being. What God is being is man, universal, eternal, forever warm, forever loved, forever tenderly watched over. Without man, love would be unexpressed. Principle and idea is one, and in this coincidence, in this oneness of the Father and Son, is this eternal coincidence. Nothing unlike love can remain, because in the coincidence, all that can possibly have presence, reality, substance, is love. 'Tis love, always love. Say the word quietly. Love, rest in it. Love, feel it. All penetrating, going to every part of the body. And body is universal. Body is church. Body is government. Feel this love, and then nothing is left to respond to the personal sense. Truly, it is unselfed love. It was this unselfed nature that Jesus knew so well, this agape love, love that never loses sight of its own pure being. Our leader, Mary Baker Eddy, saw this love and was willing to lay aside every suggestion of personal sense and to let the love that is principle be the only presence. We can now go forth as the very living of this divine, ever-present love. For love alone is life. Poem, Love, by Mary Baker Eddy. End Part 4.